Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
I'm Nancy Mullane, and this is a Life of the Law special. In June 2012, I was given exclusive press access to California's death row. That's where I met Justin Helzer. You might remember him from Episode 9 of Life of the Law. On April 14, 2013, Justin Helzer successfully committed suicide in his cell. This is the only recorded interview with Justin Helzer inside death row.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I have a lot of medical problems.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm just doing a story about the conditions on death row.
Okay.
How do you feel about the conditions on death row?
Not very good.
Why is that?
Just speaking from a medical standpoint. It's hard to see the doctor. For instance, I can only see the doctor once every 2 or 3 months. I'm on rotation, mm-hmm. and only for every other condition, I have to see a nurse, not the doctor. I have to wait to see the doctor, unless it's a visible problem. Then the nurse will schedule an appointment to see the doctor prior to my scheduled rotation. For example, I'm scheduled to see the doctor, let's say, 2 months from now. If prior to that 2 month mark, I fall down and I'm bleeding, or I develop an infection, and the redness, they can actually see, the nurse can see, determine that there's a problem, then the nurse will schedule me to see the doctor. That can be very difficult for internal problems that aren't easily seen. You can't, the nurse can't look inside my side of my torso and see problems with my stomach or inflammation that's going on. And so the nurse looks at me and says, oh, you're fine when I'm in pain. So the medical system needs to be updated.
How long have you been here?
I've been here since 2005, but I was arrested since 2000. I was fighting my case in county jail for 5 years.
Are you guilty?
Yes, I killed people. Yes, I did.
Did kill people?
Yes, I killed 2 people.
How did you do it?
It's another. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Okay.
The point is, I wrote a letter of apology to the family members of the deceased. I apologized. It was erroneous. It was so misdirected. I'm so sorry. And I'm just. It's like another past life. I'm so not that person anymore. And so I don't have a problem admitting what I did. I've taken responsibility for it. I'm not proud of it. To say it was a mistake is a huge understatement. I can't express how sorry I am. It was so unnecessary. Now, at the time I did it, it was necessary. But I don't want to talk about my case.
Okay, okay. So your
story here about San Quentin.
Yes. Well, no.
Let's stick to that.
Okay. My story is about press access and having access to facilities where people are kept, and then being able to report their conditions. So I'm walking around talking to different people in different death row environments, both on North Block, this, and then Adjustment Center. And I'm the first press that's been given that access in almost a decade.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to understand is, you know, not just to talk about the access, but to talk about the conditions, and at the same time to get to know the individuals a little bit so that people understand who they are.
Well, I hope that was helpful.
You are.
So
you have vision impaired. You're a vision.
I'm totally blind. What it was a suicide attempt. I stuck two 5-inch pens into my brain through my eye sockets. It didn't kill me.
When did you do that?
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, I see.
And so it left me blind and partially paralyzed. I'm 100% blind.
But you were before that. You were fine.
I had perfect vision. I was fine. I had vision. Yes.
Ah, so
I'm just tired of death row. So that's me. I'm living proof of a failed suicide attempt. I'm not interested in committing suicide anymore. Though, like I said, that was a year and a half ago. I've embraced my situation. But the conditions on death row are such that it can lead one to attempt to commit suicide. They're not good here.
What do you think about the initiative that would change the death penalty to life without the possibility of parole?
Looking forward to it. I think it's the next step of as society wakes up and realizes it is so. Like, there's so many things they could do, and those that like the old people and the people that have severe medical problems like me, they're not a threat to society. They could do audio monitoring. They could do video monitoring. They could put us under house arrest. They could put an ankle bracelet for electronic monitoring. They could also, if they want to, plant a RF, a radio frequency chip under our skin. There's four ways that they could keep tabs on anybody they release. They could be a condition to parole. This here is so unnecessary. It's all politics, and right now the people are buying into the political story.
Last question.
Yeah.
What don't people know? Before you came to death row, you probably never really thought about death row. But now that you've been here for 10 years, what don't people know about death row that you know?
Well, that is not, well, one thing, like I've just said, it's unnecessary. Society at large is still brainwashed by the ideology and the rhetoric that's spouted by politicians and the media that, oh, death row, tough on crime. It's not a deterrent. The death penalty is not a deterrent because, I'll tell you why. One is, when people do commit crimes, they are not thinking, oh my gosh, I might get the death penalty, I better not do this. They're in the moment, they want what they want, they have short-sighted, they don't foresee the consequences of their actions, and they do, because they're impulsive, they do whatever they do, whatever crime it is, not thinking about the ramifications. So the notion that the death penalty is somehow a deterrent is a false premise. It is more rhetoric and ideology. It's what people want to be true. Not true. People that are there committing crime right now, they don't think about, oh my gosh, I might get the death penalty for this. They don't care about that. They do their crimes because they think they won't get the death penalty. They think they're smart enough to avoid the law. If they even think about it at all. If they stop and wonder, I wonder if I might get the death penalty. Oh, that's okay. I'm smart. No, I won't get caught. That's another reason why the death penalty is not a deterrent. People who do crimes in part, there's probably multiple reasons why they do crimes, but in part because deep down inside they don't feel they're gonna get caught. They think they can get away with the crime. So the notion that the death penalty is somehow deterrent is false. People don't think they will get caught. They don't think they're gonna have to get the death penalty. So it's just so ridiculous. And yet that's the assertion that politicians and media project.
What if people say they want the death penalty just because they want people to be punished?
Let me tell you. You can punish people plenty by giving them LWOP. You don't have to give someone the death penalty. Besides, there are people here on death row 30, 40 years, and they haven't got killed. And they have so many more appeals left to them. So no one's getting killed, no one's getting executed. Look at all the billions of tax dollars that public spending. The death penalty is a emotional reaction that people have. Oh, you hurt me, you kill my loved one, so I want to hurt you, I want to punish you. It's inefficient. You hurt yourself because of all the money it costs you to keep death row alive. It costs more for you to try to hurt us through the death penalty than us for us.
Because you're already doing the time.
I'm already doing the time, and I'm still alive. And there's people here, like I said, 30, 40 years, they're alive. You can talk to them. But there are dozens, if not hundreds, well, I wouldn't say hundreds, I'd say scores of people, like me, that are old, have multiple medical problems, that are in wheelchairs, hobbling around. They're no threat to society. Why is society spending billions of dollars to keep people like me on death row when they could either convert our sentence to LWOP, which would greatly reduce the cost, or release under house arrest and monitor us through those four ways: audio, visual, electronic, or radio frequency chip. It's purely an emotional reaction that can keep people like me, who are blind, partially paralyzed, having multiple medical problems. I've got to see the doctor every 2 months at least. I'd like to see the doctor more. Why am I on death row? It doesn't make sense.
What's your name?
Justin Helzer.
Justin, I'm sorry.
Helzer.
Say it again, the whole thing?
Helzer, H-E-L-Z-E-R, Justin Helzer.
And you've been here for 10 years?
I've been arrested. I got arrested in 2000.
And
I came to San Quentin in 2005.
So you were on trial for 5 years?
I was fighting my case.
Oh, I see.
It was back when I thought I had a chance. Because I pled not guilty by reason of insanity. Okay, I did the crime, but I'm not guilty because I was insane, which I was. My thinking wasn't straight. I wish my thinking was totally different. I'm a completely different, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, I'm so different than I was before. I let me know that person. But anyway.
How do you see the rest of your life?
I don't know. I just take one day at a time. Just one day at a time.
Where are you from?
Concord, California. That's where I got arrested, in Concord, California.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time.
Okay.
And I wish you a good day.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm going to have to go.
All right, now.
Hey, this is Lieutenant Robinson.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right,
now. Lieutenant Robinson.
Okay.
Goodbye.
All right, now. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I'm Amy Choi.
And I'm Rebecca Lair, and we are the Mashup Americans.
The Mashup Americans. Think of us as your guide to the hyphen America world we live in. Are you first generation Korean American married to a Colombian Mexican American and making beige babies? Us too.
Or do you speak three languages and eat Salvadoran pupusas at Shabbat? Is Spanglish your best language? That's me.
Spanglish is definitely your best language.
Yeah, it was kind of a problem in graduate school.
Don't worry about it. We're done with that. So we've got a new show here on the Awesome Infinite Guest Network. You can go search for Mashup Americans in your favorite podcast app and check it out. We've got a great story about the mashup life of Donald Trump.
Oh, and I just went to Margaret Cho's house to Netflix and chill. Kind of.
Oh, my God. Vamos, let's do this.
As we like to say, get to know yourself, America.